We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into the revived edition of our Oregon State podcast. A little bit of a hiatus.
Where were we?
Well, the Beavers were in Indianapolis, if you may recall. We're going to talk to somebody who I think has a few memories of that here in a moment. And then we're just, you were with baseball. We had a lot of things going on. So it is a real honor to come back to our podcast conversations with Oregon State student athletes presented by On Point Community Credit Union, providing our local communities with the banking and lending solutions we all need to get ahead. On Point is a proud sponsor of the Oregon State Athletics podcast, federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity. And what better way to kind of restart and finish strong down the stretch in our podcast format with none other than Ethan Thompson. Ethan, hello. It's great to have you on. Thanks for making time for us. A lot's happened. A lot has happened in your whole life at Oregon State, but most recently the exhilarating run to the Elite Eight. So we'll just start with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wayne Tinkle, your coach, said maybe it'll sink in someday. You know, a lot. It's been a couple of weeks, several weeks now since it all unfolded and played out. As you think about it, Ethan, has it sunk in a little bit? Hey, we went to the Elite Eight. What does that mean to you and the guys?
I mean, it sunk in a little bit more. I still kind of, still riding the wave, kind of. It's been a great feeling, and I still have that feeling in my stomach, just to be able to make a great run like that. And obviously, you know, it didn't end the way that we wanted it to. We obviously wanted to ride it all the way, but. Looking back, I'm just thankful for my teammates, my coaches, and Beaver Nation for supporting us and making them proud through this run. So, yeah.
I'll tell you, I gotta ask you about the starting point. Would you agree that the starting, well, maybe not. It could have been much, much earlier than this, but down 16 to UCLA, because that was the last low point, and then everything went almost perfectly from there on. Was there a meeting? Where were you? You were in that game, but did y'all just kind of pull each other aside and say, we're changing it now? What happened that turned the whole thing completely around?
Yeah, definitely. I've been saying this all year. I think that we had a team full of competitors and guys who wanted to win and were willing to do whatever it takes, really. I think that it just took us all to be on the same page at the same time. And at that point, we kind of looked around at each other and we were like, this is how we gonna end the season. And, my teammates and I, we kind of just rallied together and then started playing a lot for each other and believing in each other and just having fun. And it brought a lot of success.
Ethan, when John asked that question, that was the beginning of the amazing run in the postseason to come back, beat UCLA. You guys have all said, in terms of a starting point, was actually almost the lowest point. You'd lost home games to Wyoming and Portland and then got blown out by Arizona. Whatever happened, maybe you could take us through the thinking in the locker room, how you challenged each other or whatever, because the next game, you made a play at the end that, to me, sparked the rest of the season to take defense with you, get it to O'Reith for a game-winning dunk, and you beat Arizona State coming off a 34-point beatdown. What happened from between Arizona and Arizona State?
Losing big like that, especially at home, is never a good feeling. And we kind of all took that to heart and was like, yeah, this can't happen again. And so we kind of put another chip on our shoulder and did everything in our power to not let that happen again. And then we responded pretty well. I think the Arizona State game was a big push in the right direction, just because coming off a loss like that, it's good to quickly get a win so that loss doesn't haunt you too much. And I think that from then on, we probably faced a little bit more adversity down the road, but I think from then on, we've proven to ourselves that we could respond and be successful. So, yeah.
Was there also an element, even if it's small, to where new guys were kind of figuring things out? Because you well know in sports that if you have to think, your reaction is slow and it just doesn't work. And as soon as you get it and you're doing everything, and like you said, everybody on the same page, so you got Rodrigue, you've got Warith, who are new, and maybe just around that time, they all started to go, oh, okay, I get this. And as a team, it's like, man, you could have done some serious damage way back at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, not only our team suffered from not having a normal spring and summer, but I think a lot of teams around the league. But I think that it really showed on how we've grown as time went on by playing with each other. As we got more time playing with each other during season, I think that we got more comfortable, on the court as well as off the court. And chemistry kind of just went up from there, and then I think a lot of players' confidence as well started peaking and realizing that we're capable, or I not realizing, because I feel like everybody knew that we were capable of success, but actually going out and executing it. So yeah.
Ethan Thompson, our guest, I feel as though we could spend days on just talking about not only the turnaround, the season, the great run of the tournament, Ethan's entire career. We have to kind of pick the pace up a bit just to get to all of the really compelling and interesting storylines to Ethan's career in this season. Our conversation on the podcast, also brought to you by the OSU Beaver Store. This year's game day experience, as always, starts at osubeaverstore.com. The OSU Beaver Store, your authentic source for Beaver gear since 1914. Go Beavs! Beaver gear featuring Elite Eight t-shirts and runs. Pac-12 championship the stuff is out there. Ethan, as we kind of come back to the run, You kept playing and winning in Vegas and won the Pac-12 tournament, and now you're off with the automatic berth into the NCAA tournament. What were you thinking then? Hey, let's just keep this thing going. You beat three really good teams just to get into the tournament, so I don't think you were surprised at what you did in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, not at all. I think, you know, when you go so far in any tournament, really, you kind of, like, start thinking to yourself and you start thinking to yourself, like, we might as well just take it all the way early. And I think that having that mindset and that confidence, talking about, like, we're here and we're supposed to be here and we believe in that, it kind of carried over to having fun, and you could see it on the court. The energy on the bench was crazy throughout all the postseason and really even the regular season too. But it was just a fun experience to be able to do it with those guys.
I was doing baseball, so I didn't get to see all of the games in their entirety. I watched some of them on tape afterward, but I thought that your game stepped up to a new level, especially in aggressiveness. Did you kind of have a feeling like, I need to really lead this thing? I know it's going well, but I need to really lead it, because you played out of your head, honestly, some of the best basketball of your career at Oregon State.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like when I, looking back on my entire basketball career, when it comes to big games and stuff like that, I feel like, I don't know, I have a lot more energy and more excitement going into these types of games. And I think that positive energy just carries over into production. And, you know, it was fun because, you know, my teammates have my back, my coaches have my back, and they trusted me and really believed in me and what I could do. And the same with them, or the same with me for them, I was trusting and believing in them as well. And just I don't know, it was a great experience, and I for sure had a lot of fun doing that.
It was so great to see the games. Ethan, it's hard for me to fully understand. I was there for the entire run, but in a different hotel, a few blocks from where you guys were. I wasn't even allowed to come see you or your dad or Wayne or yeah. anybody where you were. You couldn't interact with family members except through wrought iron gates at the baseball field. Could you tell us a little bit what it was like for you guys? I mean, I don't want to use the word like prison, because that's too strong. You're playing in a tournament and having the time of your life, so that's too strong of a word. Yeah. But your movements were pretty well restricted, right? I mean, tell us what freedoms you did have.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was very limited in the terms of freedoms and going outside of, I guess, the bubble environment, because obviously, we didn't want to take any chances, and the NCAA didn't want to take any chances on us catching anything. So it was good in that respect that we didn't pop a positive test. But also, it was just very different, just because you know, staying in a hotel for 3-4 weeks is probably draining. Not being able to interact with your teammates, like on a normal road trip, is kind of draining as well. And one positive that I like, we did have an hour and a half each day to be able to go outside to one of the baseball fields across the street, and kind of just, they had some little outdoor recreational games we could play. And we spent a lot of time throwing the football around, so it was pretty fun. That was pretty fun.
Did you guys hear about Mike getting attacked? Did outside news like that get to you guys?
Yeah, it did. I was praying, hope you was all well. And, yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm fine. Your dad was texting me, Wayne and others. Hey, what? You know, I mean, it was a what? I mean, it did happen. I'm fine. Yeah. It was a strange part of the overall glorious experience. But as I've said, hey, You know, you guys later, 2 hours later, I was on the air calling your win over Loyola Chicago, and I said, hey, I'll go on getting tackled again tomorrow on the canal if it's going to lead to a win, right? I mean, all of the things you guys had to go through, Ethan, just as it was in a minor way for me, it was all worth it, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. It was. I'll do it again over 100 times just because going through stuff like that, it kind of builds character, and it's obviously a great story to tell after the fact. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you guys, there was for a time there, a small window where you could have faced Syracuse. Now, there had to have been discussion, at least between you and your dad, about that. I was thinking, oh, man, the storylines for CBS would have been off the charts if you guys were faced up against Syracuse.
Definitely. No, that, when I was back in the hotel watching that game, the thought kept running through my mind how great of a storyline it would be. And, I mean, it didn't come true, but it would have been great for sure.
On the basketball front, you ended up playing Houston, and Ethan, I don't know how you guys take. You said you came up, it didn't end the way exactly you wanted it to. You were in a 3.5 minute game to go to the Final Four, tied. I mean, you worked your way back. Yeah. Tell us what you saw. The first half, they made it hard. They're good. They made it hard to play against. What did you guys discover? Yeah. What did you do? How did you fight your way back in that game?
I think I've watched the game a couple of times now, and I think that we didn't come out with the same aggressiveness as we did in each of the other games. And Houston, a very aggressive team defensively, and on the offensive rebounds as well. I think that we didn't come out with enough aggressiveness to match theirs or even be more aggressive than them. But I think that as the game went on, we kind of looked around at each other the same way against UCLA, and it was like we were going to come back. And we made a pretty good run. I think got it to three, and then I think we dug ourselves too deep of a hole to begin with to make it much harder to come back. So, yeah.
It was such a, as much as it was disappointing, though, Ethan, did you leave the court with your heads up? I mean, heads down because you lost. It's competitive and you're fighting to win. But the comeback itself and the way you played, did you kind of leave the whole experience in Indy with a real sense of pride of what you guys accomplished?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that's one thing that Coach Tinkle and the staff really stress is to always stay in our character. And I think part of that is just playing your hardest. So even if you do fall short in the game, you know that you did your best and you try to give it your all to finish out. And if you fall up short, you still got to be proud of what you did because you did all you can do.
Well, we appreciate, you know, there's so many things about the games and plays within games themselves, and Roman Silva's amazing game. And I mean, there's so many things we'd love to get to, and we'll talk to Roman himself perhaps down the road. But do you have, I guess, last thing on that, was there a favorite moment or game or something that is it all one collective thing that you have right now? Is there one specific moment that will always kind of be a shining moment in a sense for you that you'll take with you and always kind of remember?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say one moment, but one, I guess it would be the same moment for each game. After getting every win in the postseason, just running back to the locker room and screaming and yelling with my teammates and coaches, it was a great feeling, filled with a lot of excitement and joy, but also hunger to keep going.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that moment right there is probably one of the best feelings in the world.
Yeah, and you got more than one. That was really cool. Last thing on this, and that is, did you? We heard a lot about league unity, and Coach Tinkle was saying he was hearing from different coaches. Now they go and they meet and they've got conferences and they know each other. But what about you or other players? Do you have friends on other Pac-12 teams, or even if not friends, you know each other's phone numbers? Did you hear from them? Did you get texts from any guys who weren't playing anymore, but saying to you guys, "Hey, keep it going"?
Growing up in LA, a lot of players that I've played with growing up, played against growing up, stay in the Pac-12 on the West Coast, and so I definitely have relationships with players throughout the whole Pac-12, as well as new friendships and new, I guess, relationships with players from being in the Pac-12 for 4 years. So definitely felt the love and support throughout the whole Pac-12 going through this run.
A few more minutes with Ethan Thompson. Beaver fans, when you need a new pair of boots for rainy Oregon weather, and we're grateful that we're moving into a different season now, but when you need those boots for rain that will come back, choose a boot done right from Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897. After the exhilarating experience in Indy, you were able to get out and take a little time off. You were telling us before we started recording, mm-hmm. Ethan, a little trip to Hawaii to see a friend. What was that like to get into the sun over there and just kind of soak in some sun, soak it all in.
And decompress
and take a break. How good was that?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It was my first time actually going out there. So I honestly didn't want to leave. It's a beautiful place for sure. And, I like going to the beach and all that, so I had a lot of fun.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So now, Ethan, here we go. I mean, it's hard for me to believe. I'm so glad. It's my understanding in visiting with your dad, in visiting with Wayne and so on. I mean, there has almost been the sense that your dad, now that Stevie, your brother, has gone through, now that you're, likely, I mean, you can share your thoughts about that with us here in a moment. But it seems to me that your dad whether he's coaching or has a son coming or sons coming, loves it here. We love him. I hope that that's the feeling. I know you can't speak mm-hmm. for your dad, but if you indeed are moving on, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but your dad's planning on being back, right?
I mean, is he going to be all right without you?
Yeah, he should be fine. I mean, he's been coaching for a long time. He loves coaching. I'm sure he loves coaching his kids as well, but he loves coaching in general, and he's very happy here, and I don't see him having trouble going back to how he has been coaching before me and Stephen got here.
Such a great man and family, yeah. And we've been so grateful for the impact and glad to know that we'll still have, that family feeling mm-hmm. that's been so special here at Oregon State. So, Ethan, what about now? What's next for you? What are your plans? What are you doing now? Could you share with us a little bit? I know, quote, no official word has gone out, and I'm not trying to pressure you into an official statement per se, but could you give us some sense of your plans now?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I wanted to take some time off and kind of just reflect on, my time at Oregon State and, where I'm at now in terms of my basketball career. I've been on the phone with a couple of different agencies trying to figure out which way I should go in that aspect. And also, my ultimate goal is to play in the NBA and for a long time. So I think that, where I'm at now, it's a good position for me to go and pursue that.
And the draft will be July 29th. I talked to some people in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. people that I respect their knowledge of the game, people outside our program who, when I sat down with them, talked a lot about you. And you have to do what you have to do, Ethan, to prepare. But mm-hmm. I loved hearing them talk about, he's an NBA player. He's an NBA player because listed several different things to me that it was good to hear sort of outside our family. Does that make sense to you, Ethan? I've always believed mm-hmm. in you and in everybody that I'm around. But what's your sense about that? I mean, I think, do you feel like you helped yourself in that respect with the run that you had in the Pac-12 tournament and the NCAA tournament?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that... one thing with the postseason play, I think that's the time where a lot of NBA personnel really tune into college sports, and I feel like I played pretty well myself, and as a team, we played pretty well and got a lot of attention in that light.
Did they tell you where to go, what to do, or do you just do your own thing until you get a phone call from someone saying something? I mean, how do you handle a thing like that?
I'm always just be in the gym, working out, be ready for whatever. This year, I'm not too sure on if there's going to be changes to pre-draft workouts and stuff like that, and summer league and all that. So I'm just going to do my best to stay ready for whenever I get a call to go work out for a team or the combine or anything like that. Just stay ready and be in the gym. So, yeah.
And Ethan, as we kind of wrap up the conversation, we'll be following all of these things closely, combine, where it's going to be and all of that, and then the draft itself. Mm-hmm. But when you evaluate yourself and your dad and you and others sit and look at your own game, it's a lot of variety in the game. What are the things have been most pleased about, and even a level that you know there's still some growth in that you've been working on your whole career, and you know to be a longtime NBA guy? What are some of the things that you feel like you're still working on to develop at all?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, obviously you can improve in every area of anything, really, mm-hmm. no matter if it's basketball or in life. But I feel like some things that I'm going to focus on is probably just my quickness, lateral quickness, and obviously, and like my jumping ability as well. I think that I'm solid in each of those, but obviously if I become a lot better in those categories, I feel like I'll be even more of an elite defender, and obviously helped me on offense as well. Something that I think I've grown, especially throughout my time here at Oregon State, is just being comfortable playing the point guard position. In high school, I was kind of a little bit more off the ball. Here, I was a lot more on the ball, and I think that I've grown in my decision making, reading the game, and you know, the mental aspect of basketball. And I think that skill right there is going to translate well into NBA level type of play, where it's more fast paced, up and down, and having to make quick decisions. Mm-hmm. I feel like will be something that I could do very well.
Last thing for me, outside of the game, outside of any basketball, how do you feel mm-hmm. about leaving the proverbial nest? Are you ready? Are you ready to go out into the world on your own?
I mean, yeah, I feel like I'm ready. Obviously, you know, it's going to be different. I love Corvallis. I love my time in Corvallis, especially with both my parents living not too far away. I think that's been very helpful my time in Corvallis as well. But I think I'm gonna do very well. I think my parents raised me pretty well to be able to be out there on my own.
Absolutely. And the last thing from us, Ethan, is
I knew the answer, but
no,
I
it's
just
a great answer
to hear
and well articulated. Yeah. But the last thing, and we appreciate you taking a generous amount of your time today and on this podcast format, and that is Coach Tinkle getting a 4-year extension, and your thoughts mm-hmm. about that, and your thoughts about the direction, and you guys have all been working so hard for so long to have a breakthrough sure. year like this, and it comes, and you go to the Elite Eight, and Coach Tinkle's mm-hmm. been a big part of that. Your dad has, Coach Rupp, you know, Coach Stewart. I mean, a lot of people have had a hand in all of this, but what are your thoughts mm-hmm. about what you see coming back to the Beavers next year? Some of the guys you know about on the recruiting trail that are committed, Coach Tinkle now getting the extension. Your thoughts about the future now and the direction after yeah. you guys broke through and did such special things?
Mm-hmm. I think Oregon State men's basketball has a very bright future. Obviously, you know, Coach Pinkel's extension is well deserved. I think that's a testament that he's put a lot of hard work and dedication into the program. And I think that when it comes for the players, I think there's a new, I guess, goal to reach. I feel like the bar is raised in terms of what comes with Oregon State men's basketball, and I think that the guys returning and the new guys coming in are going to be very hungry to, you know, feel that success again and even go even further. So, you know, I'm very confident in Oregon State men's basketball and what they have to bring in the future.
Ethan, it's hard for me to get my mind around not having either you or Stevie around and watching and calling games. It's been a real pleasure, a thrill to watch you and Stevie, to be around your family. And I hope, that we'll get to see you again. You'll be around when your schedule permits. But thanks for all for this type of time with us over the years and interviews and so on. The congratulations on getting your degree already. You've had a great run academically in the classroom and have already gotten your degree last summer, in fact. So congratulations on all of that, Ethan. We've loved you and we'll love to continue to follow what's next for you. Thanks for taking time for us in this format, and we wish you well. God bless you, and thanks, Ethan, for taking time.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate you and everything that you've done. Thank you.
Thanks, Ethan. Great talking to you. Ethan Thompson, our guest on this edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. That may be the longest we've ever done. It's close.
Yeah.
But a lot. And we didn't even touch on the games really themselves.
No.
Tennessee, Oklahoma State, Loyola, Chicago.
I would have asked him if when they got up by 2 points over Loyola, if they knew, we're done, we win. Because that's how I felt.
What? Because they were down early in
that game. And it was just, and Loyola just never could do anything on their own. As soon as you took the lead, you knew you had it.
The defenses and all of the things. But that was an enjoyable conversation with one of the great student-athletes and kind young souls that have come through our program.
Oh, yeah, that Thompson family is great.
Gold. Just like our three-time champion baseball team. The Oregon State eCampus knows what it means to be among the very best. The eCampus is ranked number 4 in the nation for online education by U.S. News and World Report. Learn more at ecampus.oregonstate.edu. And go Beavs. And we've got cutouts. You can still support Oregon State spring sports through your local Toyota dealers, and Toyota is planting a tree for every cutout purchased this year to help the Beaver State recover from the devastating wildfires. Buy now and get the best spots at the Kelly Field, Goss Stadium at Coleman Field, Paul Lorenz Field. Go to osubeavers.com to learn more. And one last one about the vineyards up the road, and we'll call it good, Johnny.
Yeah, if you haven't already, do this to join the Game Day Wine Club created by the Willamette Valley Vineyard. Members receive special benefits, and a portion of the sales go to the Fermentation Science Program at OSU. If you've not already signed up, sign up today at wvv.com/gameday.
I think Ellie Slama is up next week, and we've got a lot of ground to cover with Ellie and her distinguished career at Oregon State, but a real pleasure to be back in this format, and our thanks to Ethan Thompson, and thanks to all of you for tuning our way on this edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.